Hello people, welcome back to the Fat Out Podcast. I am sorry. I have no excuse. The schedule has been messed up for, well, that is an excuse, but I have to say it, our schedule has been messed up. And I'm sorry that we've not been able to put out an episode, but we are here now and this is the perfect time to be here. Come on, it's the NBA Finals. Let's go. This is the first time I'm doing an episode this way. So we've got a preview part of the episode and we'll have a review after the game. So I'm recording this on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? Tuesday, Wednesday. I can't remember. I'm recording it today and we'll have a review part which will be attached to the whole episode and will be released on Friday. So stay tuned to that. This is just my thoughts and how I feel this game one is gonna be. But first, backstory. Boston Celtics back in the finals since 2010. The last time they've been in the finals was 12 years ago. I remember Kobe breaking KG's hearts and all that stuff. Maybe I was not playing basketball as I should have back then, but I remember that game because I watched it a lot. But yeah, back in the finals, the young guns, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Marcus Smart, and you got the OG Al Horford, who has been incredible this playoffs, man. It's wonderful to see what they've been able to accomplish. And they said it since the All-Star break. Jalen Brown had an interview and was like, the All-Star break, we're going to be different. I don't think it wasn't an interview. I think he tweeted it out, like, after the All-Star break, that they're going to be different. And they've been different from that game on, being the best defensive team in the league, to locking out and throwing these uncles with a 4-0, they should go and sit down in one place. Brooklyn Nets. 7-game series with the Bucks. 7-game series with Miami. It's been remarkable what they've been able to accomplish. And big kudos to the coaching crew. Ime Udoka, Ninja Boy. I have to put this out there. I know that man is winning on the court with his team, but you all know his wife is Nia Long, right? Nia Long is that man's wife. You know, this guy is winning off the court. In fact, more than he's winning on the court, he's winning off the court. But back to what I was saying, they've done a great job. They've done a great job this season. And to see them accomplish so much, yes, they want to win 4 more games and be world champions. Like they always say, it's NBA champion, but they say it's world champion. Like the NBA is the only team in the world. They've accomplished a lot and they have to enjoy. I hope they can enjoy those things that they've been able to put in place for themselves. But yeah, they're going off against some guys that have been here before. They've seen it, they've done it. 6 final appearances in 8 years. The only other team that has done it like that is the Chicago Bulls in their 90s run, 1991 to 1998. And you know how that ended for Chicago Bulls, 6 titles. Now, can the Warriors get 4 titles? It is great to see them back in the mix. I am so excited because last year we saw Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. No disrespect to these teams, but Golden State still plays the best brand of basketball in the NBA. With the free-flowing nature, how the guys get open, how they move the ball, it is just very pleasing to watch. Even when they are struggling, it's awkward, it looks terrible, but if you understand and know basketball, you get to enjoy what they bring to the floor. There's this excitement to them that's different from every other team. And that is why I'm very, very happy about this. Steph said it, that you guys don't want to see us next year. Yeah, Draymond Green said it too, on his podcast. 3rd seed, 5th seed, whatever, we're making it back to the NBA Finals. And rightfully, they have done it. They've beaten them, Memphis, Dallas, Nuggets. I know next season, people will say, can they repeat it? Can they get to the finals? It's going to be a lot tougher because hopefully everyone is healthy. But for now, they have got to do this and do it gracefully. But yeah, let's get into the matchups. Boston Celtics will be physical. They will be aggressive. They are the best defensive team in the league. And their length plays a very, very big role when it comes to that. Yes, we know they can move their feet. They've got the defensive IQ. They've got the schemes together. But their length is a problem. We saw it against the Bucks. We saw it against Brooklyn. It is a problem. You look on the other side, nothing. Biggest guy, Kevin Looney, like 6'10". He plays 15, 20 minutes, depending on the matchups. So how are these teams going to adjust? Golden State will have to get into transition a lot in this game. A lot in this series. Like, they've got to shoot early in the clock. I'm talking 18 seconds down. You got to get a shot up quickly, because you don't want the team to relax and get into the positions. These guys, like I said, are really long. But we also have to look at Boston. What are they going to do defensively? For one, Marcus Smart is going to stick on Steph Curry like glue. We know that fact. But are they going to play a switch every defense? Which I feel they will. Golden State has always had problems with teams that switch a lot, just like they do. So it kind of takes away from their actions that they have offensively, which is the screen and slips, the cuts, the backdoor, all those movements. It takes away from it. So I feel this is going to happen in this series, at least for the first game. I want to see it happen in the first game, because they always say the game one is a fill-out game to see what works and what doesn't. The question now becomes, will Golden State man hunt when these guys start switching? Because that is not who they are. They don't have KD anymore. Are they going to man hunt? And if they do, who are they going to man hunt for? It's most likely the bigs, either Robert Williams or Al Horford. But it is tough. It is tough to see Golden State taken out of their elements. Offensively, Celtics will man hunt for everybody. They are going at Steph. They are going at Jordan Poole. They are going at Kevin Looney. And every soul that comes out of that Warriors bench, they are going at them for sure. But the big thing is going to be the role players. Those guys that come off the bench, those guys that have knocked big shots in previous series, they have to be able to score. Grant Williams, he has to keep up the intensity and make those buckets. Pritchard has to come off the bench and make those shots. Derrick Williams, they have to be able to take those shots and make them. Because there is no team in the league that will go against a flaming hot Warriors team and outscore them. It is not going to happen. So if you are working your ass on the defensive end, you better come down on offense and make some shots. I'll leave it at that. Before I round off this short preview, I don't want it to be so long because the episode is going to be extended for a little bit. Turnovers is the last thing I want to talk about. Both teams are giving up the ball like they are on a Christmas fair. It is crazy. Golden State is averaging like 15 turnovers throughout the playoffs, and this is through 16 games. Boston, like 14, I guess. Yeah, 14 turnovers through 18 games. Makes no sense. And we all know what happens to the Warriors when they start turning ball over. They are out of sync. They don't get the looks. And it's crazy. Most of the games that they've seen, even when they turn the ball over, they still have an opportunity to win. But you can't do that with Boston. You turn it over, you're going to get punished for sure. Same thing goes to the other side. Boston have to keep. They have to take care of the ball. They have to keep it as tight as they can. Don't give it up. Get a shot off it at least. And it's not those long ass studio shots that leads into transitions. Those count as turnovers in my book. So that's basically it for the preview. But before I leave, people want a prediction. And I'm not going to give a prediction. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But I'm going to say this. I have a feeling the Boston Celtics are going to win game one. Now, if the game is close to the very end, Warriors take game one. But yeah, that's it for part one of of the episode. After the game, we're going to get the review of game one. So yeah, see you in a minute. Yeah, we're back. We're back for the second part of the episode. What a game. Everything you could wish for in a playoff game, it had. I know a lot of people have talked about how these playoffs have been underwhelming to them, but I don't know what they are saying. This game here, this one right here, had everything you could think of. The highs and the lows, big shots, big defensive plays, every single thing. And yeah, I'm going to get down to my thoughts. I don't want to keep this so long. I don't want to keep you guys waiting. But then, before we get into that, a big shout out to our sponsors. Sponsors of this episode, Gosmic Comics. These guys are spreading the word of the Lord, our Heavenly Father, through comics. So for those of us who are not big on going to church, you know, fellowship on Sundays, all that stuff, I have to play the fifth. I'm one of them. I can't remember the last time I've been to church. But Cosmic Comics has been there at least to provide or give me a new sense of the word every now and then. I go through their pages on Instagram and on Twitter and I'm like, okay, this is informative. This is fun. It is enjoyable to read through the comics. And it's even in Pidgin. It has this vibe to it that you will keep scrolling and it's very addictive. You keep scrolling and say, okay, this is what it said, this is what it said. It is wonderful to learn the word of God in that kind of field, that kind of setting. So I encourage everyone to check out their page on Instagram and on Twitter. It is Gosmic Comics. G-O-S-M-I-C Comics. We all know how to spell that one. Abi? Alright, back to the game. Steph Curry came out blazing. When I say blazing, Uman touch flame. Like, he was on fire in the first half. 6 of 9 from 3. He had 21 points. I'm like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, Celts. Come on. We expected more from you guys. You guys are playing drop coverage on Steph. You have Daniel Tice dropping back. Our offer dropping back on pick and rolls and pin downs. I'm like, come on, guys. Come on, use your head. This guy is going to shoot you all night long. At least that was what I thought. But it did not go down that way. Even though the Warriors had the 14-point lead into the fourth quarter, you could notice the switch in the way Boston played defense. On the pick and rolls, they were a lot higher. They contested a lot more. And they did not give us so many second chance opportunities like they did in the first half. And I could see it, okay, something is going on here. And first few minutes of the fourth quarter, it changed. Those guys got into a groove. Jaylen Brown, oh my Lord. He scored like the first 8 points in the fourth quarter. I'm like, okay, they are confident. The good thing was that they kept the margin close enough. You know, in today's NBA, 10 points, 15 points lead, 20 points lead is nothing with the way people are shooting the threes. They went 21 for 41 in the freaking game. 9 3-points made in the fourth quarter alone. And like I said in the first part of this episode, it's always going to be the role players. Those guys that will come up and make big shots. I said it that our offer was going to be one of the X factors, and you could see what it did. 26 points, 6 of 8 from 3. In his first final appearance, you would expect this man to be timid, but come on, this guy is a 15-year vet. So he was ready for this moment. He had been ready for so long. And I have to mention, Derrick White was more of a factor than even our offer. Reason why is he hit timely shots. Every time it looked like the Warriors were getting into a groove, they were getting a 5-point lead, an 8-point lead. He made some shots that actually put a stop to their run. Starting from the third quarter, you could see those shots coming in. There was a shot in knocks to tie the game at 103, right in Steph's face. Those kind of shots, it takes a lot of confidence to hit them. And when you are clicking like that on the big stage in the final, man, the confidence is out of the roof. Jason Tatum didn't have a big game. He shot 3 from 17. Yes, they paid a lot of attention on Jason, as it should be. But when you see other guys knocking down shots, you have to find a way to adjust to that. The big takeaway for me from what the Warriors did not do in the second half was their rotations. They were slow at getting out to contest those shots. They gave out so many second chance opportunities, unlike they did in the first. And they were not smooth or fluid on the offensive end, which led to transition plays for Boston. It was a great, great game. And I said it before the start of this game. I had a tweet with one of the followers that I see the Celtics winning the first game. He said he sees them blowing them out. And I see the Celtics winning the first game if they are able to blow them out. I did not see it happening in the fourth quarter. I thought that it was going to be the first three quarters. These guys are out of the gate. 20 points, 25 points lead. And, you know, Warriors are going to cut it down in the fourth or something. But this was incredible. It just sets the tone for the next few games. So what do I think the Golden State Warriors are going to do in game two? For one, they need to take care of the basketball a lot more. Turnovers in the second half really hurt them. And when I say turnovers, I'm not just talking about them literally giving the ball over. But those shots that they take, the bad shot selections. or early in the clock that are not good looks. They need to cut that down. They had some very, very terrible runs in the first few minutes in the fourth quarter, so they have to turn that down. And also, they need to get back into a fluid motion. When Boston stepped up the physicality of the game in the second, they did not match up well. They need to get back into your fluid motion of moving the ball. You can't settle so much for pick and rolls when those guys are being physical. So it has to be the ball moving as much as it can. And for Boston, they really just need to be physical and aggressive. They need to keep up that intensity. You can see what the physicality did for them in the second half. Guys like Jordan Poole couldn't get off. Even Andrew Wiggins struggled. Otto Porter struggled a little in the second. So being physical definitely helps them a lot. Now, those guys that knocked out those shots, those players got to keep on eating them shots. I don't think it's going to happen in game two. I don't think they will score as much as they did from the three-point line. But if they are able to maintain that kind of aggressive nature of shooting the ball with so much confidence, then they have a chance in game two. Game two, I see the Warriors taking it. 10, 15 points at least. I feel they will be a lot more composed, especially down the stretch. They will definitely go over theme and all that. Jason Tatum did not have a great game. He will probably have a better game. He will definitely have a better game in game two. But I don't think them role players or those guys that hit so many shots will actually make as much in game two. I just can't see that happening. I don't see the Warriors going down 2-0. And if that happens, man, it's it's going to be a fun ride to the end. But yeah, that's my take. Wonderful game again. I just can't wait for Sunday to come. Man, thank you guys for tuning in. I'll definitely put this up in about a few minutes. But yeah, take care. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Until next time, people. Stay safe. Flat out.